Welcome to episode 6 of Pizza Rainbow. Yes, I'm dancing. This week, we discuss our top pop culture moments of 2014. But we can't fit it into just one episode. This is part one. So why don't you just shut up and get into it with us.
What's up, Jen Paulson?
Hey, Amber. Just fucking leave it. Not a whole lot. It's just the last few days of 2014.
I know, it's kind of scary.
What the fuck?
Because it's the 16th, right? So we're over the hump of the middle.
No, I mean, it's Friday the 19th.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's Friday the 19th for everybody who's listening.
We're live, bitches.
Please call in with your questions now.
Yes, please.
So for today's episode, for everybody who's listening, instead of just me and Jen talking to each other like no one else is.
I don't know. Is anyone listening? If you are, high five. Let's go get a donut. You deserve one.
We are. Sorry, that just reminded me of the trivia prize. So Jen does Trivia Mafia every Monday night. And sometimes the prizes are amazing, and sometimes the prizes are...
A single donut.
A single donut for one team.
Which is still, I guess, a really good prize. I mean, it's a Glam Doll donut. I mean, that's like a $5 donut. I'm not talking shit about Glam Doll because those donuts are delicious. You can.
I'm not. I don't think I've ever had a Glam Doll donut.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
We're going.
I would enjoy that. But yeah, I will be the one to say that if I were a trivia team and my team won a single donut to split amongst us, I'd probably toss some tables.
I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me.
No. You
trivia
don't have
mafia
to.
Is
only
the
me.
Best.
You can just disagree Amber's with everything
bitch.
I say.
No, no.
All right. So for this episode, we decided to do a best of 2014. And this is the first parter. This is on this episode, we're going to talk about our favorite or maybe not our favorite, but like the most impactful pop culture moments.
I missed that memo.
Of our 2014.
Impactful?
Impactful.
Like, this is the stuff I like.
I have impactful. Some stuff on here where I'm like, this is bullshit, but it was also a big thing of the year for me.
You've got good stuff. You're a thoughtful person that plans ahead and thinks about bigger things other than herself. And me, I'm like, how did that happen?
Well, wait until you hear my list. A lot of it is about me.
Okay.
Yeah. And
what's
then
new?
For our next episode, then we'll get into stuff like specific TV shows, movies, and books. Things that moved us in 2014.
Some of that stuff moved my bowels. I'm going to have a list. Top 5 things that moved my bowels in the 2014.
You can have that, and I'll have the book list. That'll work out perfectly.
I could have a book list, too. I mean, I could just have a list of the books I started reading and didn't finish.
Yeah. Or the ones
Wait,
that, like,
I don't want to ruin it
at.
For you guys.
You don't want to ruin the joke. The joke that's coming.
I guess I already did.
All right. So Jen and I each made a list, and we are going to go back and forth with our favorite pop culture moments.
Awesome.
So that you don't have to listen to one of us talk for full 20 minutes, which wouldn't be unusual from other episodes, but...
We interject. I would never let you talk for 20 minutes straight, and you never let me talk for 20 minutes straight, and that's why we work.
That's why we're partners.
Yeah.
It's a rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you want to go first? You want to do 5 from your list?
5?
Yeah, do like 5 of them at first. And then I'll do 5, and then you do 5, and then I'll do 5, and then you do 5.
I don't have 15. Wait, is that math?
20? Well, I have 20, so...
That's okay. I'll come up with some. Or I'll just riff on yours.
That sounds great.
I'll just start with the most embarrassing ones. And like the thing that I waited for until May of this year.
Okay.
Kim and Kanye finally did it. She was no longer married to Chris Humphries. She was able to...
God, that guy was a douche.
That guy was just a pile of dumb.
Yeah.
He wasn't even cute enough.
He was not cute. Like, that was my thing where I'm like, he's not even attractive.
He can't even get away with being that dumb by pure adorableness and charm.
Yeah.
Nope.
But Kanye, on the other hand.
I love Kanye, even though he's a dick sometimes.
I love his Twitter feed. That's like my favorite thing.
He's the I don't want to say he's the best, but man, marrying into the Kardashian family took him down a notch.
It kind of did. Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
Whereas like everybody else, like that would bring you into more worldwide acclaim, whereas like Conway, it's kind of like you're kind of slumming there a little bit, buddy.
Yeah. But, you know, he's kind of, I don't know. He loves her.
He does. He fucking, he's loved her for a long time.
He loves her. I know.
I will admit to watching the Kim and Kanye wedding special. And the coolest part, I don't know. It was one of those things where, like, you got to see Kim do, like, you got to see them do the rehearsal and stuff like that. And, like, that was kind of fun because you actually got to see the family in unedited moments, yeah. I guess. Like, just interacting with
each
other.
Being a little realsies.
Yeah. It was refreshing, I guess. And then there was the bachelorette party where Kim went out with all of her girlfriends and she wore that, like, really amazing dress. That was like beaded. It looked like pearls.
Yeah. It in Paris.
Yeah, it was fucking cool.
Slumming it.
But yeah, so one of her friends told a story about how Kanye had been in love with her. Even when she was still with Reggie.
Yeah.
And like 2007 or whatever. So that was kind of cute. But
yeah, I mean, she seems like a total moron, but I think she's actually. I mean, I'm not saying she's smart. This isn't about whether or not Kim is smart.
Right.
But it's, I think she seems like a sweet person.
I know that, I can't remember who said it to me, it was something this week where somebody's like, and then you watch the Kardashians, and I was like, I do not watch the Kardashians. Like, that is just one thing that I just don't participate in, which is, I know it seems weird since I watch so much Bravo TV and so much other reality TV stuff, but like, I just don't have any interest in it. And like, yeah. Kim, I'm not one of those people who's like, the Kardashians are ruining our culture or whatever. Like,
they're at least ruining America.
I don't know.
No, I don't.
I find them entertaining. And like, if I have to watch an episode of them, like, I don't. Oh, it was my dad. My dad said something about me watching the Kardashians all the time. I was like, excuse me. You don't know me at all. We need to review our mother-father relationship.
You're like,
not watch the Kardashians.
That's it. And you flipped over the table at Thanksgiving. Yeah. You're like, fuck this turkey,
you
dad.
You don't know me at all.
You don't know me. You're not going to know this turkey either. And you threw it in the lake.
Next time on Jen Paulson's Thanksgiving special.
But like, Jen makes Amber do stuff. Just put like a camera, like a secret camera in your house, and mic you so you can hear me and be like, no, Amber, you have to pick up the turkey. And you're like, no, I will not. Yeah, you said you would. You gave us all this money. Take that turkey and throw it in the lake. But I like turkey. No one likes turkey.
I do like turkey. Chrissy Teigen went off on Twitter on Thanksgiving about how turkey is a garbage meat, but I like it.
I wouldn't go so far to say it's a garbage meat. Plus, I think Chrissy Teigen is kind of a garbage person.
What? I don't know. You might be starting a big-ass fight right now.
Well, come at me, Chrissy.
I love Chrissy Teigen.
Let's fight and then be best friends. Amber and I are already best friends.
That's Chrissy Teigen, you're welcome to join that trifecta of awesomeness, though.
I guess.
I dig her a lot. I love... That should fucking go on my list. I'm putting it on my list. Give me your pen.
No, I come prepared. You do not. No, here's my pen.
Chrissy Teigen's Twitter feed. It's on my list.
I don't know. Sometimes she's on my shit list. She's... I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. Sometimes I just think she's just bitchy for the sake of being bitchy. But I guess that's what the internet's for, so I'll cut her some slack.
Yeah. I mean, we're all kind of bitchy to be bitchy. But I get it. Not everybody that's my favorite has to be your favorite.
I hope not.
Yeah. All right, so Kim and Kanye got married. What's next on your list?
Well, I didn't put them in order.
Well, you don't have to put them in order. Just
All things Taylor Swift.
All things Taylor Swift. That was a big one.
I could have broken this up into so many categories.
Yeah. Well, and you still can. The floor is yours, Paulson. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
I proclaim today and every day to be Taylor Swift Day in my heart.
Well, she was named New York's newest ambassador.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of her song New York.
I know she was...
Which got like a lot of heat from cranky hipsters.
I feel like she was petitioning, or not petitioning, or trying to get New York to be like a New York song, but what's the current like... New York official tourism song. Do you know?
I think it's her song. I think that's the newest one. Yeah.
Because I think, then she won. That's a great song.
Yeah.
I love it.
I like it.
Did you listen to the whole 1989 record?
I did.
What do you think of it?
I like it.
I love it too. I feel like I wish pop records would end on a peppier note.
Yeah.
I feel like they always end on like the kind of most chillest, semi-sad song.
See, I am part of that movement where like I rarely listen to like a full album in one sitting anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
Whereas I used to all the time, but like now I just kind of skip around on songs. But
yeah, it's like the Spotify effect, or for me, it's the Rhapsody effect.
Yeah.
Because I'll just be like, I want to listen to this right now, and I can.
Yeah.
Therefore, I don't listen to the whole record. But it's like the first, like actual full-length like record that I bought. Like, right when it came out, like, well, not right when it came out, but, like, in the first couple weeks.
Yeah, because I remember that, because I was trying to get you to go buy it at Target so you could share it, and you know, came home one day, and you're like, I downloaded it on my phone, and I was like, well, thanks.
I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait anymore. I was so happy.
Good. As long as you're happy.
Well, that's all that matters. Don't you know how this works?
No, it is really good. I have it anyways, but, No, yeah, I like it a lot. I think that Shake It Off is up there with Hey Ya and Happy and all the other, like, really good, like, the songs that, like, 20 years from now, like, it'll come on the radio and people still want to dance to it and people still really like it.
So, yeah, that song was a behemoth.
It's fucking awesome.
Then I bought the record. It became kind of not my least favorite song on the record, but, like, maybe my third favorite song on the record.
I know. Isn't that crazy when, like, you buy a record for a song and then you hear so many other great ones on there that you're like, this doesn't even compare.
I'll be honest. I think I actually bought the record for Blank Space.
I love that video.
It's a great... I actually have not seen the video, but if you, like, were going to look at my YouTube viewing history, you'd think I'd watched it, like, 100 times.
Yeah.
But I listened to it at work, and I didn't actually watch the video, because I'd get yelled at for sitting at my desk watching the video.
Watching videos. You know, you're going to probably get mad at me about this, but I literally just watched the We're Never Getting Back Together video for the first time last week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad at you. I don't think I've actually seen the whole video myself either.
It's really adorable. But there's, like, an otter in the video, like, it's guys dressed up as, like, animals or whatever, because it's supposed to look like a pop-up book.
Okay.
Like, that's how the video is designed. But there's an otter that's, like, really mesmerizing.
Mesmerizing
like
otter?
Yeah, like, nice. He's a guitar player. And I think it's the way that he dances and, like, looks at the camera that, like, every time he's on screen, like, you're just, like, yeah.
You're like, I'm attracted to you.
I'm attracted to this wooded creature. This woodland creature who plays the guitar.
I think you would be attracted to a woodland creature that could play the guitar. Like, I was just walking in the woods and there's a chipmunk playing a little guitar. And I was like, I'm taking you home. We're going to be best friends. And no one can stop us.
It's a woodland sexual.
Yeah, something like
woodland
that.
Woodland sexual.
A lumber sexual.
Yep, woodland sexual. We're making it happen.
I don't know.
I love how every imaginative scenario that you have is like, and we're going to be best friends, and you're going to come home with me.
Here. Hop on the palm of my hand, and I will walk you home.
And we will become best of friends.
Be the best of friends. Would you like to sit on my shoulder? I need you to play a Nick Drake song now.
Oh, my God. I love it so much. All right, so number 3 for you.
Number 3?
Yeah. Come on.
This is more of a joke than anything. Do you remember the ice bucket challenge?
I sure as fuck do.
Did anyone ever challenge an ice bucket to the ice bucket challenge? It's just crazy, though, to a certain extent, how things kind of disappear throughout the year.
Yeah, like, from your mind. Like, all that everybody can talk about and all anybody can do, and then all of a sudden, like, it's gone. It's
yeah.
Gone.
No one remembers that Robin Thicke got dumped pretty hard, and she was just like, I'm out. And he's like, Paula!
And I'm gonna
all
write
over
a whole
the
album
world.
About you. Yeah.
All over the poor.
Good for her. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, I don't know. What did he do wrong again? I don't remember.
Well, he cheated on her.
That's.
Times.
Yeah, fuck that.
There is a photograph of him, like, literally grabbing a girl's ass in the mirror. Like, it was a picture that was, I don't know what it was, if it was a mirror reflection or somebody took the picture from behind, but like he was posing with some girl for the camera and like his hand was on her ass and it sure as hell wasn't his wife. So yeah, he's skeevy, whatever. I don't care.
I don't expect any less from Alan Thicke's son. Sorry, Alan Thicke.
Do you think that some people might have had their feelings hurt by the fact that they weren't challenged to an ALS ice bucket challenge?
God, I hope not. I just remember, like, a lot of the Facebook, like, backlash, which I thought was really weird.
Yeah.
Where everyone was like, this is stupid, blah, blah, blah. I mean, whatever. I get it to a certain extent. You know, I don't have a lot of experience with ALS, and I don't think I have any family members that have it, you know.
Right.
But people were just like, it's not about a bucket of water. It makes no sense. Like, I'm sorry, but if Anna Wintour is doing the ice bucket challenge, that shit's legit.
Well,
not really,
one,
actually.
There was one before it. I think it was about cancer awareness or whatever. And it was like the polar plunge or something.
Okay.
And I think like that one definitely got misconstrued by the people who were doing it because they were just like challenging each other and they weren't actually like donating money or telling people to donate money or whatever. And it was kind of this like a I dare you thing. And then the ALS bucket challenge kind of piggybacked off that.
Okay.
And I, like, I'll admit, like, at first I was just like, this, like, fucking donate money. Like, this is stupid. Instead of, like, I don't know. It's, but I do think that the fervor that caught on from it and, like, the awareness, like, people, everybody knows what ALS is now. Whereas yeah. before, like, you couldn't say that. And it did raise so much awareness. And there were tons of, like, different celebrities and just people on my Facebook feed, too, that were like, don't challenge me. I already donated money, you know, or people who like would be challenged and like they would dump like Sean and Catherine from The Bachelor. Like they just dumped money on each other and it was all money that they were going to donate to the charity, which I think is fucking awesome.
That's creative. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I kind of I coincide with both of them where like I yeah, think it's great to raise awareness, but awareness doesn't mean shit unless there's money
yeah
behind it.
So. I was also kind of glad that no one nominated me for the ice bucket challenge.
I made it clear that there was not going to be an ice bucket challenge. I donated money. It's part, I do charitable giving all the time. And so that was part of my, one of my causes. But yeah, I made it clear to all my friends that I'm like, don't, because I won't do it and I'll get mad. So yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have to worry about it. It was nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
I kind of liked watching all the celebrities challenge each other though.
Yeah, some of them were really some of them were super fun. Some of them were just dumb. But
yeah.
Some of them, I'm like, nobody really challenged you. You're just doing this.
Like, yeah.
There's some, like, D celebrities where I'm like, no, no, nobody challenged you. You're just doing it to be part of it.
You're pathetic.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if you're going to be pathetic for anything, you might as well be pathetic for that. But, yeah. Great. Okay, so number four for you.
Number four for me. Can you play some hold music? Just kidding. Oh, I can't believe that I was like, I don't know which one, because I was going to lead with this one, which is pathetic. I had a really pathetic year, honestly.
Say pathetic again.
Pathetic, pathetic, pathetic. You're pathetic. Shut up. Okay, so it just happened recently, and it's so dumb, but I love it so much. Is during the Victoria's Secret fashion show, except they cut it out of the telecast. I mean, of course they did.
Right.
But like the next day, you know, like I like Us Weekly on Facebook, and there's like a whole gif of Ariana Grande like almost getting her tiny head clocked off, I think, by one of the Victoria's Secret models, like one of these weird wings. It looks like a graffiti wall.
And then it started like one of the best memes in the entire universe ever.
Seriously, like just the look on that little twit's face. Like, oh, you're... I don't know why. I just don't... She bugs me. I don't want... Whatever. I gotta just be okay with people bugging me.
I think she can be... She has a very... I think she does, like, have a very annoying presence. Like, I personally, I don't enjoy her voice, except for Problems, but just because I feel like it sounds like she's straining her voice when she's trying to hit those high notes. And, like, yeah, I don't know.
What if it comes out that she stole Mariah Carey's voice?
She's like the octopus from Little Mermaid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ursula.
Ursula, yeah.
Ugh.
That would be hilarious.
My God. Seriously, what happened, Mariah? Anyway, that's not part of number four.
But that was amazing, though. That was a great pop culture moment.
Oh, my God. That was just so fun. I'm just like, just the look on her face. She's like, what? It wasn't even like a, ooh, it was more like a, what the fuck?
You're interrupting my performance.
You're really bugging me with that giant thing hitting me in the head.
It's messing up my ponytail.
That's what she said.
All right, next one.
Well, around the top of why I was just like, I wonder if Ariana Grande stole Mariah Carey's voice. It's not really like a positive.
Be a pulse next
positive like pop culture moment or anything, but I just feel like there's like a certain element of sadness in the breakup of Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon.
Really?
In my mind. Because like she kind of came back and was legit, and then he got super popular with whatever show he does that I don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
And now he just seems kind of like a douche.
Yep.
And she can't sing anymore.
I think he like made her seem less crazy. Like he kind of, he helped her bottle up the crazy a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like she's one of the very first celebrities that had this like weird mental breakdown that we're seeing happen with like Amanda Bynes and Britney Spears.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. Like she was the first one, but it was so, it was kind of before like interneting was everything. So it was kind of like hushed up. And, like, you really only heard about it in magazines or in interviews.
Yeah, or on TRL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is Total Request Live, for those of you that have outgrown that vernacular.
My world used to revolve around that goddamn show.
Seriously?
I don't really enjoy her voice either, though. Like, I don't know. I don't. I don't like Christina Aguilera's voice. I don't like Mariah Carey's voice. I don't like Ariana Grande's voice. Like, give me fucking Adele. Give me a bunch of other amazing quality-voiced singers. You know who else I'm getting kind of tired of? That Sam guy.
His face? I'm over it.
Yeah. Like, both the songs that he has out right now, they sound the same. They're both about staying. He's becoming a desperate mofo.
Yeah, dude, you're needy. Like, motherfucker needs a break.
Yeah.
Let him go to dinner with his friends. I mean, let her go to dinner with his friends. I don't know.
And I guess I'm one of those people that, like, when everybody talks about, like, what an amazing voice he has, I'm just kind of sitting there being like, I don't really, I mean, it's fine, but it's not like, whoa.
You're like, yep, he's got one. He's got a voice. Good job. Slow clap, Sam Smith.
Way to go.
No. I mean, in the beginning, I was like, oh, that was a great song, and it's a really good song. You know what it is? Since you haven't really been, like, driving, you know, like, having to drive
a
lot.
Right.
The people like me that have to like drive like at least a minimum of 60 miles a day. It's one of those songs that's kind of fun to sing in the car when you're feeling super fucking emotional.
What song?
That stupid Stay With Me
song. Oh, Sam Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, what did I call him?
No, I called him Sam before. I couldn't remember his last name, but yeah. No, okay. I mean, I don't dislike that song. And when it first came out, I was like, okay, this is, yeah. But I remember Daniel, like, being on a road trip with Daniel, being like, I like Sam Smith. And he was like, good. Nobody else does. And I was like, damn.
Well, the Billboard Hot 100 would say otherwise, young brother.
But now I'm like, no, Daniel was right. Like, he has better taste than I do. Aww. Yeah, I'm over it. I'm over him. I'm over him.
Sorry. I'm excited to see what... I hope that he does more.
I like who his presence is in the musical world. Like, I like him... at, like, in his interviews, and, like, the fact that, like, we have, like, an openly gay, like, more of a flamboyant figure. Like, I think that's really refreshing, and I like that. But I just, I don't know. It's one of those things where, yeah, when people get hysterical over something, you're just like, I don't get it.
Well, so. I think that's, and I'm not trying to, like, analyze you, but I think that's kind of a natural reaction for you. It's like when everyone's going nuts over something.
Yes.
To a certain point, you're going to be like, all right.
I do that with a lot of stuff, like when it's mass hysteria over like a political event or, you know, a pop culture thing, I do tend to kind of like fade in the background and wait until all that's died down. And then I do the thing where like I start listening to it and paying attention to it, and then I want to talk about it. And I'm like, have you guys heard this thing?
Yeah, it's like, Amber, it's over.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I don't know. And plus, I think like the vast majority of public opinion tends to be flawed. Like, I think people are stupid. Like, look at American Idol. Look at The Voice. Like, people are dumb. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen... I've got a friend of mine that I would never expect to be like, oh, I was watching The Voice and this, oh my God. And I'm like, what? Who stole my friend? Yeah. Like, what happened? But then it's like, I mean, we all have those things. I mean, I'm not going to judge someone liking that when I'm like, oh, sure, I will watch all of the Housewives shows because my roommate does.
Yeah, see, I like that stuff. But I just, I don't know, like, this is kind of, this is an interesting topic. But I do think that, like, America in particular, like, when you look at the things that reach mass hysterical popular status, and not, like, ironic popular status, but, like, Jersey Shore. Like, legitimately, like, people are legitimately, like, tons of fucking people, like, loved that show. Like, not ironically. Like, they didn't watch it like some of my friends where it's like, this thing is such, like, a train wreck that, like, it's fun to watch because of that. Like, they loved it. And that's where I'm sounding like such a pretentious snob right now. But, like, it is a thing where, like, I don't really trust it when something, like, shoots to the top of the charts right away or when everybody's like, fucking Justin Bieber, right? Like, it's stuff like that where it's like, there's a couple songs by Justin Bieber that I kind of like, but, like, it's stuff like that where I'm like, the fact that everybody in America loves something all at the same time, like, that makes me a little bit suspicious about the quality of it.
I feel like you get to a certain degree of it where it's someone like, I'm going to say it, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're just drinking that Kool-Aid because we are. Who cares? Right.
Yeah. I think that there are things that kind of defy, like, the sheep herder mentality. Like, I think Taylor is legitimately talented.
And well, I think, and it's, she has a quality, a fantastic voice situation. I mean, yeah, this is, like, a really great record.
Right.
And but she's doing great things.
Yeah. But I would also argue, too, that she does... Like, she's quality and she's talented. I know we can agree on that. But I think she does fit into that kind of category of, like, easily digestible. And, like, you don't really have to think about it. You know what I mean? Like, she's not a thinking man's pop star. The way that, like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Where it's like...
Who would be a thinking man's pop star?
Like, I would say, like FKA Twigs. Or even, like, Gaga is a little bit more...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't... I don't know. Like, if one of my aunts, like, doesn't get why somebody dresses up in weird outfits, like, then you know it's a thinking man somebody. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. No, yeah. That makes perfect sense, because I was, like, a couple weeks ago at my aunt's house, and she's like, in her early 50s, and she had the Taylor Swift record, mm-hmm. you know, and I put it in my bag and took it home, and she doesn't know that I stole it. And then I wouldn't let
I
you.
Want it.
Yeah. I'm like, no, Amber, I didn't buy it. I stole it once and I bought it once.
I just wanted to get the one at Target because it has exclusive tracks. And I'm still going to do it. I can buy it for myself. But I'm like, if we both still love it, why hate the earth and get two things that are going to end up in the landfill when we're dead and gone? So,
because you're going to buy it.
I have
and
a
then
long view.
I'm going to download it from you.
Exactly.
You fucking owe me.
All right, so...
Yeah, let's move on to your five.
Turn.
Yeah.
So my top pop culture moment was when Robbie fucking Benson commented on my Facebook. That was amazing to me.
Well, you're right. These did get personal.
Yeah.
It's good.
it's a little self-congratulatory, but, like, it was my most amazing moment of, like, not only my year, but probably my life. Because he had listened to, or no, he had read the blog post, and then I think he listened to the podcast. If podcast listeners remember, I talked about how this all kind of got started with going down the rabbit hole of the Robbie Benson situation.
Yes.
And then he, like, wrote this, like, super nice comment on my Facebook page. Yeah. So that was amazing. It was like worlds colliding, and, like, it made my entire life, just, like, growing up watching all of his movies and, like, having a weird obsession on a teen idol who was a teen idol before I was even born. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes masturbate to this theme song from Ice Castles?
No. But it's really...
I'm sorry.
I've ice skated to it.
Of course.
For some reason, it makes me... It, like, reminds me of Drop Dead Gorgeous, the movie. Even though, like, I know that the anorexic pageant winner from the year before, like, she does, like, a wheelchair choreography to Don't Let Them See You Cry or whatever.
My God.
Yeah. But, like, that song reminds me of her, too. Like, I don't know. So. Nah. The second pop culture moment on my list. The rest of my list really isn't in particular order, but, like, a couple of the first ones are. So, the second one was Nora and Aaron Permort. And Nora's blog, My Husband's Tumor, the hashtag still kicking this, and then Aaron's obituary, the Spider-Man. Like, that was probably, I think, for a lot of people, not just, like, in our immediate community, but around the country, like, I think that defined a lot of 2014 for us. Like, reading Nora's blog and being a part of her story, even if we didn't personally know Nora and Aaron, and then just, like, the epic amazingness of how viral that obituary went.
Yeah,
like,
that was amazing.
Yeah, and like seeing everybody rally around with the still kicking this hashtag and like buying all the shirts and yeah, I mean the Spider-Man obituary was picked up by like Us Weekly, MTV, like everybody. It was amazing. And that was one of those moments where like pop culture wins. Where it's like, this is a great thing. Like, you see the good in people. Like, you see the good in pop culture of, like, spreading this amazing thing that makes people happy and, like, sheds awareness and, like, brings people together. So that should be number one. I'm going to have to go back on that. That should be number one and not Robbie Benson. But I'm still going to keep the Robbie Benson thing because I'm selfish. But
they would, you know, Aaron would understand.
I would hope so. I hope he would get the Robbie Benson love.
I feel like he'd almost prefer if you didn't put that at number one. Be like, no, that's okay. You leave Robbie there for you.
Maybe.
Not that I would know, but right. I'm familiar.
Number three is Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski and Sochi Olympics. Their commentary, their Instagram, just like their outfits were fucking amazing. Like, that just like made my February. It was delightful. Like, I used to watch figure skating all the time when I was younger. I was obsessed with it. I even like had dreams of becoming a professional. But yeah, seeing those two do commentary in Sochi, and like kind of as a footnote, like Sochi, the Olympics in general were like a huge pop culture moment for me anyways. Like just different things like Shaun White and his documentary Russia Calling. Like, that was kind of a, I don't know, my opinions on Shaun White are kind of varied. Like, there's something that I really like about him, even though I think that he tends to come off as kind of like a kind of a pretentious asshole. But the documentary was really cool of like just like seeing his training, the way his mind works, the way that like he had this coach that he was working with to get this trick down. Because like the whole premise of it was that he wanted to go back to the Olympics to win a gold medal and like kind of finished the trifecta of his career. And in the documentary, like, there's a point where he's not making this jump, and he's getting really frustrated, and the coach is getting really frustrated. And, like, you can kind of see, like, Sean's, like, agitation and frustration with, like, the whole, like, all the crew, like, everything that's happening. And he just kind of does this thing where he's, like, goes up to the coach and he's, like, you know I love you, but blah, 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 blah. Like, tries to be very diplomatic, even though, like, he could very well have just been, like, go fuck yourself. Like, I'm done with this. But he didn't. So it's different things like that that, like, I think seeing the personalities behind the athletes was really cool.
Yeah.
For Sochi.
Did he do the trick? Did he nail it ever?
So the course that they had to do the snowboarding tricks on, the half pipe, something happened, and I know I'm going to get the details wrong, but, like, it froze over overnight or something. So that,
because the weather was really weird.
The weather was shitty. It melted. It melted a bunch. So, like, they had spent the whole day trying to, like, freeze it back into form, and it wasn't regulation when the day started. So, like, the crew was working furiously to get it to regulation. And what that did was it iced over a bunch of, like, different bumps on the half pipe, so it wasn't a smooth ride. So he fell. He didn't win the gold. He made a lot of mistakes on there, and you could tell that he was really frustrated because, like, if the half pipe would have been perfect in regulation, and if it wouldn't have been, you know, caused by weather mishaps and stuff like that, like, he probably would have.
Yeah.
He probably would have done it. But not just him, like, a ton of people fell that shouldn't have fallen, that, like, are usually flawless. So it was a bummer. But, Yeah, and then like slopestyle silver medalist Gus Kenworthy, like he adopted a bunch of stray puppies from Sochi.
Oh, I remember that.
Cute, yeah. He's like a poster boy for like super hot, cute, like Olympic skiers. Like he's adorable. Like I kind of had to remind myself that I was 35. I'm like looking at pictures and I'm like,
oh, cute. No, I think it's kind of like that the trend in dating where guys have to use, you know, puppies and kittens to try to get in their pants.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, thanks.
I don't mind.
It's like, thanks, Lisa Frank.
You ruined it.
Or did she?
Yeah. So number three, Johnny Weir, Terry Lipinski, and all of Sochi. That was awesome. Plus, I fucking love the Winter Olympics. Like,
they're
Summer Olympics are fun, but, like, Winter Olympics are my jam.
Number one.
Yeah.
I once, like, was, like, 1996 or something. Mm-hmm. Or 95. Whatever year there was a Winter Olympics when I was in high school,
yeah.
I did zero homework for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I was dog sitting for almost all of that 2 weeks. And, like, I didn't have cable up in Hayward just because I'm principally opposed to paying for cable.
Oh.
Because I'm above it. I'm above TV, which is not true.
Gonna need you to pay for cable or Stopwatch. Stop using the DVR. Pick one.
No. But, yeah, so I was dog sitting for a couple that I love up in the Northwoods. And so I literally got to spend, like, all week long just watching the Olympics. It was the most amazing thing of my life. It was
awesome.
What
year did you graduate from high school? You were were you dog sitting?
No, I'm talking about this year for Sochi.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. I'm like, oh, my God, your parents let you work?
No, that would be
so
nice.
Confused about things.
Yeah. So that was number three. Number four was a show called Mad on Chelsea, which was a commentary show based on the British reality TV show Made in Chelsea, which is one of my secret amazing obsessions. And so what they did with Mad on Chelsea is that it's kind of like it's an after show, kind of like Talking Dead.
Or like Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah, yep. So, but it's, so like the show Made in Chelsea comes out on Mondays. And then Mad and Chelsea comes out on Wednesdays. And what they did this past year was that they had the people who were on the show, like they would pair them up and then they would answer questions from Twitter. There'd be like dumb little skits, like little different like things. And they would have like Mad and Chelsea fans like do a little thing or whatever. It was fucking awesome. Like it was really great. And it was really fun to see like the people on the show like interact with each other in kind of that format. But for one of the shows, they asked for people to submit poems for Proud Locke, who's one of my favorite characters to read. So I submitted one, and I woke up the next morning, and they're like, we loved your poem. We need you to sign, like, these release forms and all this stuff. Like, Proud Locke's going to read your poem. And it didn't end up happening because they had to cut the segment. But that's another one of my, like, amazing. He read it, but they cut it. So, like, I still have that inside my heart of, like, Proud Locke read my poem. And it was a dumb poem. Like, it was the stupidest one ever. But
it's too bad they couldn't have at least sent it to you. They made you sign stuff.
Yeah. But I still have the release form. So I still have that amazing moment. So, yeah. So, like, all together, I would have to say Made in Chelsea and Mad on Chelsea. Because now Made in Chelsea, they did a season in New York during the summer, and Bravo TV picked it up, and they're showing it this winter. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so hopefully some of the people who have heard me talk about it so much will be able to actually see it for themselves.
What's the premise of the show itself, real quick?
So Made in Chelsea is kind of a cross between, like, The Hills and, I don't know, it's like a fancier, poshier.
You had me at The Hills.
Hills, yeah. Like, it's everything that, like, you wanted Laguna Beach and The Hills to be, and it just wasn't. Or, like, prep school kids or whatever, NYC kids or whatever. NYC prep. It's kind of like that, except, like, most of the kids on this show, they're young adults. Like, they're all likable. Some of them aren't, but
yeah, it wouldn't be reality television if they weren't, some of them weren't kind of unlikable at the very least.
Right. But, I mean, I think all of them in their own way, like, at least have some redeeming qualities. And it changes from season to season. But yeah, and they actually are like borderline aristocratic. They all have like trust funds. They all grew up in like Chelsea or Kensington or Bravia or whatever. Yeah, it's cool. It's a good one. Yeah.
That sounds like something up my alley. I remember how hard I resisted The Hills.
I know.
And then it sucked me in and I was like, I hate you people, but God damn it, I love you.
I know. See, and like with Maine and Chelsea, like I don't feel any of that guilt at all because, like, it's so – it's beautifully filmed. Like, the quality of it is beautiful. And, like, it's interesting and it – I mean, this, the stars of the show have admitted that, like, they definitely set up situations. Like, it's not scripted, but it definitely is that thing of, like, at 11 o'clock you're going to go into this pub and you're not – you don't know who you're going to see. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's different things like that, but – yeah, it's fucking awesome. Like, it's British posh kids who are funny. Like, some of them are so fucking hilarious. They're attractive. They're interesting. Like, most of them are incredibly smart. Yeah. It's nice. Cool. Yeah. So, yeah. So, that's number four. Number five is the editing and production team of Bachelor in Paradise.
Let's elaborate on this.
So, Bachelor in Paradise was a kind of a takeoff of Paradise Hotel, for people who remember that. It was like 10 years ago. It was right when Bachelor and The Survivor and all the in Temptation Island were getting started. Yeah. Hotel Paradise. I can't remember which one it was. But it was super trashy, super like addictive. But the premise of it is that like you put a bunch of people on this island and then whoever's, like, not paired up at the end of the week, like, get sent home. So, like, yeah. So you want to, like, pair up with people because they're going to pick you at the end of the week to stay. And if somebody doesn't get picked to stay, like, they're out.
So you pair up. It's more like a male-female pair up or just pair up as buddies?
Yeah. Like, on Hotel Paradise, like, you were supposed to stay in each other's rooms. So, like, there was definitely, like, a lot of sex happening.
That's okay.
Yeah.
What's
Bachelor
wrong with
in
that?
Paradise was a little bit more like Bachelor-esque, where it was like more romantic.
And I assume it was on ABC, so.
Yeah. But it was amazing because there are so many different things that happened. Like, there was this girl, Elise, who was balls crazy. So the editing team would do these amazing montages of her, like, of her, like, quotes and her, like, falling in love after, like, 2 days with, like, a bunch of different guys.
That was me, Amber.
And they, they do, like, a misty frame and, like, music in the background and just, like, her talking.
Oh, my God.
It
they were having so much fun.
Yes. Like, they had a blast. And then there was this one candidate, Michelle, who was on a Bachelor season. And at the end of her week, like, she just opted to go home. She didn't want to be there anymore.
Okay.
So Chris Harrison was like, I was kind of suspicious of that. And then he found out that she had started having an affair with one of the guys on the production team. And his name was Ryan Putz. So a producer found out and went to Michelle's room. And the guy got scared that he was going to get caught. So he jumped off her balcony, which was, like, 4 stories up. And he broke his leg. And at the end of this segment, like, Chris is, like, taking us through this. And, like, they did a reenactment.
Oh, my God.
And Chris is like, and what was his name? Ryan Putz.
That is some serious production assistant shaming.
Oh, it was awesome. It was
beautiful.
It was so, like, that was the thing. Like, Bachelor in Paradise as a show, it got kind of boring and, like, it wasn't – my interest kind of lagged by, like, the middle of the season. But watching the production editing team, like, have so much fun and do all these, like, different things with it was pretty awesome. So, yeah. All right. So, now back to you.
I think we should go back to you.
No.
I literally –
I already did five. I'm tired of
you
talking.
Have so many. Can I read some of yours?
No.
Okay. These are going to be so bad.
No, they're not.
My number six is Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Martin not dating anymore.
Did you, like, how did you feel about her past boyfriend, the Nick, or whatever his name is, from X-Men?
I prefer when Jennifer Lawrence is single when I'm single.
Really?
And I've been single for a while. I like to pretend that she doesn't have a boyfriend. She's living life on her terms.
What are your feelings about Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Martin?
I don't know. At first, I was like, oh, that could be interesting. And then I was reading articles where they're like, oh, Jennifer Lawrence was hanging out with Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow. And I was like, get the fuck out of there. Get out of there. Hurry. They're fucking weird. They will continue to sleep together on occasion.
Oh, they totally will. Yeah.
No.
The conscious uncoupling, I kind of felt bad for Gwyneth getting thrown shade at that because I had read that the lady who had come up with that term, like, I had read some stuff by her before that, so I kind of felt bad that, like, she was getting slack for
a term that somebody else had already created and like made a bunch of money off of. But that lady is now swimming in the dough. Like, you know, everybody's like conscious of coupling. I'm gonna have to buy that book.
Yeah, I'm like, did I do that without reading a book?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But I'm also not Gwyneth Paltrow. She's like a lady douche.
I go back and forth with her.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. It's like everything else in my life where it's like, I kind of don't like you, and then you'll do something that's redeemable. And I'm like, oh, I don't mind you. And then you'll do another bullshit thing, and I'll be like, oh, God, you're a dick.
Yeah, but if I met her in person, I'd be like, you're super cool. Let's go have a macrobiotic lunch. High five. Oh, you read on the internet that I've been talking shit about you for 10 years? So we can still be friends, right?
Right.
I've been talking shit about Amber for at least 7. No. I don't know. There's just something. I love her mother. I'm kind of disappointed
in her. Oh, I fucking love Lethe.
Raising a douche, but.
I did. One thing about Gwyneth Paltrow that I think is really redeeming is the amount of love that she had for her father.
I know.
Chris writing that Coldplay song. What's it called? I'll Fix You.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll Fix You.
Yeah.
Kinda, it still makes me a little teary.
It's really sweet, but then I start getting all weird, like, self-help about it. I'd be like, a man can't fix you, Gwyneth. And then I'm like, it's a fucking song.
All right, should we go back to back then? We'll shake it up. So
no, I got it. I'm working through my list. That's okay. Let's do it. And then, unless we should go back to back, and then we can get through part of yours, like a lot of yours, and then
we'll
mine.
Just shake it up. We'll just shake it up.
Shake it up.
All right. So my next one was Discovering Tokyo Hotel, which is a band originally from Germany, a pop band, and pop kind of like punk metal, whatever. They kind of just did what was popular. But I discovered them from Tinder, Tumblr, or whatever. It's a dumb story. So then I saw their video, Monsoon, on YouTube. And it became one of those weird things where, like I just fell down the rabbit hole and became, like, obsessed with this band of, like, kids who were, like, 10 years younger than I am. And, like, but they were, apparently, like, they were super popular, like, years ago on MTV. Like, they won a bunch of, like, MTV awards and stuff. So I started, like, really following them and really get into, like, some of their videos and music. And they have this really cool series on YouTube, Tokyo Hotel TV. So it's, like, a mini documentary every week. It's, like, a 30-minute, like, episode.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I wish Stars would do more of that. And then they finally came out with another album this year. It's been, like, 5 years. But Bill and Tom Cowlitz are twins. And I always mix them up, but one of them is the lead singer and one of them is the guitarist. I have a crush on the guitarist, but yeah, they came out with their new album this year and it's actually pretty fucking good. Yeah. So they became like a defining pop culture thing for me for 2014.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to bone the guitarist too.
Let's
so
make that happen.
He's real hot.
We'll start a Kickstarter so you can bone him.
I think it's Bill.
I think they'll really enjoy it. He'll enjoy your crush, the fact that you're not sure what his name is. You're ruining your Kickstarter already.
He's the only guy I know that can pull off cornrows as a white guy and still look hot. There's a picture of him right in that collage behind you.
I, like, almost don't want to look. Cornrows?
Look. It's the guy in the top right corner. He's hot, right?
He's got a real hot face, but the thing that throws me off is the motherfucking cornrows.
I think they look fucking awesome.
He's like Bo Derek, but a dude.
Don't.
Oh, shit. Sorry. That feeling.
I'm just saying, it's not. I didn't even think about Kevin Federline once when I saw his cool fucking cornrows.
All right. I'll give you that.
I had to be reminded of it and be like, oh, yeah, that's somebody who can't pull off that look. But he looks really good. Bill Cowlitz looks really good with him.
I want you to have that. I won't argue that anymore.
Okay. He doesn't have him anymore.
Awkward.
He took him out.
Thank God.
Shut up.
Can't do it. Like, I don't know, it was like 3 or 4 podcasts ago where you were talking about like that guy that was texting you all the time that you like liked on Tinder and he like wouldn't stop texting you.
Yeah.
But then you're like, no, I was it just does this and this and this and he wears too many Affliction t-shirts. And I was like,
What? I thought I knew you.
Affliction. I'm really solid judgment when it comes to guys.
Oh my god.
But what I'm gonna do, what I'm gonna do is on the blog post for this podcast, I'm gonna post the automatic video by Tokyo Hotel because it's, first of all, it's fucking hilarious. Like, there's parts of it where I'm just like, Tom is a very androgynous looking person on purpose. Like, he, I think I've mentioned him on the podcast before too, but like, he's kind of been one of those people or celebrities who's like, he has never made a statement on his sexuality yet. He just kind of is like, I love who I love, and like, people can make their own, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But so, but in Automatic, like, he looks like a beautiful fucking girl. Like, and there's like a scene where like he gets out of the car and he's kind of like strutting slow motion towards the camera. And it's really hard because it's like, I know I shouldn't be attracted to this, but like, I'm really attracted to this. And Bill looks fucking hot playing his guitar. So, yeah. Anyways, so listeners, look forward to watching that. All right, back to you.
Back to you in the studio, Jen Paulson.
Away from my weird pop culture obsessions and back to you.
Yeah. Well, this is one for me leading up to the HBO special of the... that On the Run special.
Uh-huh.
Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is going to be awesome. I was so stoked. I was like, I cannot wait. So I think, you know, I really love those kind of pop star, like, documentaries where they show, like, concert footage. And then, like, kind of behind the scenes, this is their live footage. And this was not that, and it was kind of boring.
Really?
Yeah.
Because she did one a couple years ago that was only available through Walmart. And that one was fucking awesome.
Well, and she did the thing with Oprah, too. Are those the same thing or separate?
I think that...
I can't remember.
I think that was separate. But it was one... It was one of the first ones that she had, like, edited and produced and, like, did herself.
Okay.
Yeah, and it interspliced concert footage. And I'll never forget the live performance of Diva, because it was fucking amazing. And it was one of those moments where it's like, this is why she's an icon. And then it was like the interpersonal interviews and stuff like that too. So
yeah, well, I think I'm drawn to those kind of movies because like I'm a child of the 80s. Basically, I grew up watching like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and I just find that stuff
and
really interesting. Yeah, I find that stuff really interesting.
Yeah, I do too. I love that stuff. That's why I love reality TV. Like, I like kind of getting that personal look at people.
Well, yeah, exactly. It kind of ruined traveling for me. You know, because you're gonna like when you stay at a hotel, you're like, I'm gonna stay at a really nice hotel. You know, and it's like, guess what?
When Beyonce stays in Boston, she doesn't stay at the Holiday Inn.
Well, yeah, it's just those places only exist for rich people.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jen, not yet.
Someday.
Yeah. Right around 71.
All right, my number 7 is Iggy Azalea's Booty Pop in her video Work. No need to expound on that. It's amazing.
Have you...
I was obsessed with it for like a week.
I'm going to have this as my number 8, but it wasn't technically on my list. But did you... Oh, God. I don't even know if this is from 2014. The Change Your Life video?
Oh, yeah.
That was like a boner. That was like a boner, a video form... Like a boner in the form of a music video.
I didn't like that one as much as I liked Work. Work was like... I probably watched that like a billion times over the course of... beginning of the summer. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about that video. Like, that whole... She's kind of what she says, like, going for, like, a Scarface kind of vibe.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's
chic. It was hot. It was chic. Provocative.
It's chic.
Yeah. I liked the part in that video when she was dancing with the Vegas Showgirls.
Yep.
That was fucking cool.
I thought the whole thing was cool.
Yeah.
But, like, dancing. I kind of like... Because they kind of went with that more, like... old school Vegas style for like kind of half of it.
Yeah.
Like a little new school Vegas, a little old school Vegas, and I love that old school fucking mid-century Vegas.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're like, she's like, I don't really like that video, so whatever you say, I'm just gonna say yeah after. Yeah.
I usually do. Whenever I listen back on her podcast, if I'm like disagreeing with something, I'll just say yeah.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah. No, not really.
We had if you guys haven't noticed, I listen to our podcast like over and over again because I'm a narcissistic fuck. But like,
I love the sound of my own voice.
I must. I don't know.
Which isn't an unusual thing. There's been tons of psychological studies that have shown that people love the sound of their own voice.
Maybe I just miss you, Amber. Nah, that's not true. Oh my God. I wish I could have taken the picture of the look on your face and we could have that be a link. My number 9 pop culture moment. Looking across the table with Amber that time I hurt her feelings.
No. Thanks, Ken.
That doesn't count as a pop culture moment. Not yet.
I've been wanting to be, but it's not.
Not yet. Not till we're Kathy Lee and Hoda. Oh, God. I get to be Hoda. You're so Kathy Lee.
I'll take on the Kathy Lee. Okay. No, I'll take on the Kathy Lee. I don't mind that.
I love when Chris. Have you seen those old SNL skits where Kristen Wiig is playing her? Oh my God. Anyway, that's not a pop culture moment of 2014. But that's like a pop culture moment of my heart.
That's like a vintage pop culture moment of your heart. Yep. So number 8 for me is Chris Hardwick and Chloe Dexter breakup, which I'm happy about.
Aw.
My husband's back.
I don't necessarily dislike her. I really enjoy her Instagram. I think she is an absolutely like stunning creature. I love that like I'm ending everything with a question mark. But I grew incredibly annoyed when they started dating and she had to be a part of all of the Nerdist intros. Like that drove me fucking crazy. And I knew that like some of it was like, like, you could tell some of it was Chris being like, yeah, like, be a part of this or whatever. But sometimes, like, he'd be doing the intros and she would just, like, interject stuff or, like, talk. Which, like, really, I don't know. It was one of those things where it's like, I'm listening to Nerdist because I want to listen to, like, Chris and Jonah and Matt. I'm not listening because I want to hear Chris's girlfriend talk. Like, I don't know.
No one wants to hear the hot guy's girlfriend talk.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I mean, I'm totally okay with, like, admitting to that. Yeah.
I think most people would. I don't even know who she is. So I'm going to look her up.
You know what? Yeah, like whatever. I'm not going to feel bad. She's cool. She's doing cool stuff, but I want my husband back, so I'm glad that the mistress is out of the picture again. Oh. So yeah, happy about
Center
that.
Send her away.
All right.
My number 9 is, and this is pretty recent, the Jenny Slate episode of Mark Maron's WTF podcast.
Yeah, WTF
podcast.
WTF!
Just yell away.
She was really great on the Nerdist podcast, or on the Pete Holmes podcast.
Okay.
That was fun.
I just
awesome.
Find her to be kind of a magical being.
She's fantastic.
And I remember when she was on SNL, I was like, I do not get this girl.
Oh, I loved her.
But I kind of grew to like enjoy her, and then she didn't come back.
Yeah. Well, she got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but that's just the nice way to say it. That she,
really nice. She was amazing on Parks and Recreation, though.
Oh, my God. She plays Jen Ralphio's sister and Tom's girl. I know. She's amazing. She's so amazing. But I just liked...
Steam Stealer.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I love how those come along, you know?
Yeah.
But... I just thought it was a really, really amazing one. And I think it really said something to, like, you know, just creativity and, like, finding your own joy and just doing you.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how she... Because, yeah, I feel the same way. I felt the same way after listening to her on Pete Holmes, You Made It Weird, that you do after listening to WTF with Mark Maron. Like, she just is... she's super interesting. She has really great, amazing stories.
She's really articulate, but in, like, a really, like, down-to-earth kind of warm way.
Approachable way. And I love how she, like, talks all the time about how much she loves being a girl. Like, being a girl is really fun for her. Which, like, I've never really been a huge, like, girly girl. Like, when I was younger, I was super into dresses and, like, you couldn't put me in pants. But it's refreshing to
hear. And now you can't get your pants off. Just kidding, I'm trying.
Pants off anytime.
Not you. No, denied.
Send some info, though. Slide off like butter. But yeah, it's nice to hear a woman like talk about how like fun it is to be a girl and how much she enjoys it. So yeah,
Seems like a really. I don't want to use the term like positive person because that's kind of like
her Twitter's awesome though.
Yeah, no, she's incredible. Yeah. And, like, Marcel the Shell and just, like...
So great.
Obvious Child, and it's just, like...
Have you seen Obvious Child?
Not yet.
I haven't either. We should rent it.
I was just talking about it like I had seen it, but then you're like, have you seen it? I was like, no.
Then I called out your credibility.
Whatever.
Have you even seen it?
That's your job, Amber. I let this girl live in my house so she'd call up my credibility, which is already limited. She just smelled her armpit. Ha! Down a notch, too.
Did I tell you how I finally switched from natural deodorant to actual grocery store deodorant?
Like deodorant. Back. Murder deodorant? Killer yeah. deodorant? Cancer deodorant?
For
pit like, cancer?
Shut up. For months, I was like, no, like, I'm not going to put that stuff in my body. I'm going to use, like, natural deodorant. So I bought this, like, really great smelling stuff from this girl that I knew up in the Northwoods who, like, makes a ton of, like, natural awesome products. And so I used it for a couple of months. And I kept, like, I kind of knew it where I'm just like, this is a bad choice. And, like, everybody around me can tell it's a bad choice because, like, it's one armpit. Like, I only have one armpit that has, like, odor. And when I would use this natural deodorant, like, it wasn't, like, BO, but it was definitely, like, a scent that was, like, oh, maybe
I'm not wearing deodorant. It's just a natural pheromone scent.
Yeah, it's, like, it was a natural musk. So, at first, I'm, like, maybe it's not that bad. Like, I can get used to it. And I would almost just kind of be, like, no. Like, almost, like, stubborn about it, where it's, like, it's fine. And then, for Thanksgiving, I went home with my mom and we were sitting in the car and I was doing something, like I was reaching for something and I made a comment about my natural deodorant and she's like, Amber, it's pretty bad. I was like,
oh, your mom is
like, how many other people have been thinking this but just haven't had the courage to say it to me the way my mom did. So, yeah, so I finally broke down and just bought regular deodorant, so.
Then you don't just shower every day.
No, it's, like, totally changed my life.
Isn't that ridiculous? Like, I might use natural deodorant, but does that mean that I have to shower every day?
Well, I don't know how people, like, I don't know how the old people did it, where it's, like, I mean.
They didn't. Everyone stunk, and well, so no one knew better. Well,
oils, so, like, you would think that, like, patchouli, obviously, like, a ton of hippies use that for deodorant.
That doesn't work.
I know. But, like, so, yeah, and then I was, like, playing around with a bunch of my essential oils and stuff to try to see, like, what would work. And I'm still going to play around with it. Like, I'm still going to see. I need to get, like, a bunch of roller balls and combine a bunch of oils and just, like, see what's really good and what's not. But I just got tired. I was like, nope, I'm tired of, like, worrying about whether or not, like, other people just think that I'm not wearing deodorant. So, yeah.
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess I'd be braver to keep using the all natural stuff, but we're all gonna fucking die anyway. Spare yourself the embarrassment of smelling like a locker room.
Well, and like a couple of my friends, Melissa and Megan, were talking about it on either Facebook or Twitter, and one of them mentioned, like, I think lemon slices, or like rubbing lemon slices on your armpits is supposed to work really well, which it should, but I just haven't tried that yet. Plus, I feel like it'd be real sticky. But if I did, like, a lemon essential oil with, like, coconut oil and put that together, that could be cool. And then you smell fresh.
Well, because then that's a lemon. I mean, that's lemon oil anyway. That's, like, the same effect of, you know.
Yeah.
But I already have all these lemons. I just rub the lemons under my pits. That'd be awesome.
And then squeeze them into my deck.
I'll fucking give you $5 to do that for, like, a week.
I will totally do that.
We need to put that in a video. Be like, stay natural with Amber Carter.
And I just do, like, all the gross stuff that people don't ever really want to do, but that, like, hippies are like, yo, you really should do this.
And then you can act like you do it all the time, but then people meet you in real life, they're like, she smells like store-bought deodorant and real soap.
It'll be the expose after our relationship breaks down.
Oh, like, no.
Let me tell you all about this stuff.
Well, first of all, she's a liar. That wasn't even a real lemon. It was a Meyer lemon, snob.
Oh, ideas. Creativity.
That's pretty good.
Amazingness. So my next one was everything Billy Eichner. Billy on the Street. Billy in Parks and Recreation. Billy is a guest star on New Girl. Billy on Twitter. Everything Billy Eichner. I love him.
He's incredible.
He's amazing.
It took me a while to warm up to him, but I think that he's heard that a few times.
I think that he talks the way that my Twitter feed sounds, where, like, it'll be, like, normal, and then it'll get really loud.
Yeah.
And I love it. Yeah.
That's the power of connection in comedy and entertainment.
It is.
You can relate.
Yeah. I relate to him. I love him. His Twitter is freaking hilarious, too. So yeah. So what's your number 10? What's your number 10?
My number 10 was my obsession with the song Boom Clap by Charlie XCX. Really? And the accompanying video.
Did you like her performance on SNL this week?
No, I thought it was terrible.
Me too.
Which is really unfortunate because I think she's great. I think she's got a rebel spirit and she's gorgeous. But sometimes singing live is not something you have to do on SNL.
SNL is a challenging thing for, I think, a lot of musicians. Like, people either absolutely fucking rock it or they blow it. Like, yeah. There really doesn't seem to be any in between.
I don't think she blew it, but there was, like, a Lord level of uncomfortability.
It was uncomfortable.
You know, like, in terms of, I'm not saying, well, it's kind of uncomfortable to watch Lord sometimes. However, you know, why not? If you're, you know, on a show, like, with your own music, if you're going to have to, like, dance like you're Taylor Swift, which is just means bad. but Taylor's getting better at dancing with. I thought she was getting better. And really, I think she just practiced really hard to do Shake It Off at the VMAs because now she dances like shit again.
Yeah.
So it just throws my whole theory off.
She's not a natural dancer.
No, I don't.
I think she's better when she's pretending to dance bad.
Yeah.
I think that's more her natural. I mean, her natural flow.
I can't really say anything too bad about Taylor Swift because I just adore her.
Yeah.
And whatever.
This is a Taylor Swift free zone. Or Taylor Swift
hate free zone.
Positive zone.
Positive jam about Taylor Swift. Whoop. Happy belated birthday, girlfriend.
My number 10 is Lindsay Lohan's documentary this year.
I couldn't get through the whole thing.
Produced by Oprah.
Oh, man, when Oprah's laying the smackdown.
It gave me all the feels. Like, both her interview with Oprah, the thing that, like, jump-started all of it, and then the documentary, like, I had a lot of feels about it. It made me nervous. It made me anxious. Sometimes it made me happy. Sometimes it made me really sad. Sometimes it made me really angry. Yeah.
I just, that moment where Oprah is just basically telling her to not necessarily get her shit together, because you can't necessarily tell a person to get their shit together, but she's like.
She kind of did, though. She was kind of like, you need to get your shit together.
Yeah. Like, you have this opportunity. I want to help you. Let's fucking do this. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, let's, Oprah. I'm right over here. I will do it. Let's do this.
Do it. I just feel like. Yeah, and I felt the same. Me and Oprah have a lot of things in common, and I feel the same way that she did when she's like, I want you to win. Because I feel that with Lindsay, where, like, I fucking want her to win. Like, I want her to, like, stop all this bullshit, get her fucking life together, like, stop surrounding yourself with, like, total asshole douchebag losers.
She,
like,
needs
the friends
to
that
get away from her
with.
Parents, too.
Yeah, like, fucking
she needs
get
to cut
your shit
off.
Together and get back to what you're good at, which is, like, she is a fucking talented actress. And she's not a bad singer. Like, I gotta say it. Like, she doesn't have a bad singing voice. Like, she could have all of those things at her fingertips. And, like, even people in the industry who are so tired of her bullshit, like, they still will say that she's very talented.
Well, and I think people inherently would love to see her make a comeback.
Yes.
Like, and they wouldn't hate on it. They'd be like, it'd be like Taylor Swift levels of, like, yeah, go Lindsay if she could pull it off.
Yeah.
I really think that her whole story and her whole trajectory, and I say this with, like, zero pretension, I think it's an American tragedy.
I think so, too. I think that there's something.
It's like a pop culture tragedy, and she's still alive.
I just think that there's something weird going on. Like, I would love to, like, investigate it more with, like, my psychology background, where it is really interesting that we're seeing, like, a handful of, like, female starlets have, like, serious mental health issues. And we're not seeing it necessarily from the guys. Like, we're not, I mean, Justin Bieber, but I don't think, I don't know. To me, I'm just like, no, he's just more of an entitled douchebag.
He's just a kid douche.
Yeah. But, like, it is really interesting to me to watch, like, Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears and Amanda Bynes.
This is the same tragic thing, because What a Girl Wants, I fucking love that movie.
She has some of the best comedic talent
and
timing.
She's got such great timing.
Yeah. I mean, she was in Easy A. Like, she's fantastic.
Who was she in that?
She was the Christian girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, she was fantastic. And, like, I just, if there's something in the water where, like, we're seeing, like, these really talented women, and it's not even, like, they're starting to go on this downward trajectory, but it's not even more, With Lindsay, I feel like some of it is a little bit more of like, not necessarily willpower, but like she has the ability to get her act together. Whereas I feel like where Britney Spears used to be and where Amanda Bynes is right now, like they legitimately, like they need help. Like they're not out of control in the way that like they're entitled assholes. It's they're out of control in the fact that like they have a mental health issue. Like they have a mental health disease. Yeah. I don't know. But we've seen from Britney how it was a long road back. But, like, now, like, she's doing fantastic. And I feel like the public has really rallied around her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she kind of made that, I don't know. I'll never forget, like, her MTV documentary after, like, she got out of, I don't know, when her dad was still at her conservatory and she was, like, working on her new album or whatever. And, like, she had an interview. And it was one of those, like, one-on-one interviews. And she's, like, looking out the window and she's, like, I'm just really sad. Like, I'm really sad. And she, like, started crying. And I'm just, like, God, like, I don't know. It was one of those things where it's like, it's not, it gets so sensationalized that you forget that, like, there's somebody who's in, like, actual pain.
Well, you forget it's, like, just a person. They're still just a person. I mean, they might be, like, a pop star, like, a, you know, like a public figure, but they're, at the end of the day, they're still just a person.
Yeah, they're a human being and they're, yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, with Lindsay, it just, I feel like she's one of those people. I feel like she was in actual real danger of like dying really young a few years ago, where it was kind of scary. I feel like now like she's better, but I get really frustrated with her where it's like, I want her to win. I want her to come back. I want her to like make something of her life. But I also just get really frustrated because I feel like she's stupid with the people that she surrounds herself with and the decisions that she makes. And like, I don't know.
Well, and I kind of feel like with Amanda Bynes, I feel like to a certain degree, it makes me so much more sad because like she does kind of have a reliance on using, you know, social media to like fan the flames on that.
Yeah. She's going back to like the way that she was before where she's on Twitter all the time and she is like calling people ugly all the time, which was like a huge, it's hard to explain it in term like without getting like into the DSM manual or whatever, but she's falling back into like those old patterns of like, this is a symptom of her mental health illness.
Yeah.
Like her going on Twitter and tweeting really erratic things and making character assassinations at people and like calling them ugly, like that's symptomatic of a couple of different mental health illnesses. And I won't diagnose her because I'm not a psychologist. I have a background in it, but yeah, it is kind of scary.
Well, no, like to a certain degree, I mean, obviously I feel like she has this, you know, innate need to express herself in whatever form that is, obviously. Right. And I don't know, hopefully, you know, whoever she's seeing in terms of like a therapist or psychiatrist, maybe they can explore like actual writing to maybe help her get through whatever she's going through. But whatever, I mean, like I said, I don't know anything about anything. But
it sounds like she's off her meds. And her parents, like their conservatorship of her ended, I think, a couple of weeks or a month or so ago. And that's when she started spiraling down again. So, I don't know. I side with the people who, like, make a very good point that, like, it's not a form of entertainment. And, like, people who make fun of her and people who kind of laugh at her behavior, like, and that's very troubling to me because she's obviously somebody who's in a lot of, like, anguish and mental
absolutely.
Pain.
But there is no, to me, there's nothing entertaining about it. It's just deeply, deeply sad and not in a way where I'm, like, sad, like, pathetic, like, just really sad.
It's really sad. Yeah, it's scary, too, because it's just, like, I mean, she is an adult. Like, unless she puts herself or other people in harm's way, like, there's nothing anybody can do. So, I mean, it's kind of like the whole restraining order thing where it's like, you can't do anything unless, like, they actually harm themselves or someone else. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah, Lindsay Lohan's documentary, I had high hopes that, like, it was going to do everything that we wanted it to do. And it was another, like, it was another instance where, like, she only just, like, insisted on crashing and burning. I mean, it was bullshit. So, yeah. I was pissed at you, Lindsay. Get your act together.
Yeah.
So,
well, blessings to all those ladies in the new year.
Yeah.
What did I just do?
Blessings to all you ladies in the new year.
I mean, all you ladies.
All you ladies.
Even your ladies' ladies. And those ladies' ladies. And their grandmas.
And your ladies' babies. And those babies.
Yeah, those were the 10. You've got...
Yeah.
Seriously, what time is it?
We are not about an hour 15. Okay. So we should probably... We should probably say adieu at this one, but then we can do another parter later on.
You're going to cut the end of that out?
Yeah, because there's some on, like, there are some other ones on here that, yeah. So we'll do a second part of Pop Culture Moments, and then we'll do, like, books, TV. Because this is stuff that we talk about anyway. So, like, if people are annoyed that we're doing a best of 2014.
We're just going to best of the rest of the year. So, yeah. Fuck you.
Every podcast is going to be a best of.
Yeah, forever. Best of the week of. And so on.
Yeah.
Haters.
God, I miss that VH1 show.
Which one?
Best week ever.
I know.
The highlight of my life.
Yeah. The internet is ruining everything.
I know.
But it's also making everything wonderful. And then ruining things again.
You love it. You hate it.
It's called the internet, parentheses, the thing that poops on everything.
Hashtag trademark.
Hashtag
registered.
Happy holidays. Patented. Let's keep doing this till New Year's. We actually can.
Yeah.
Seriously. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Boom. New Year's Eve. Never mind.
We'll do it right after New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that'll be the 2nd of January. We'll be like looking back on all the smart stuff that Amber remembers doing. And I'll be like, I started some books.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to Best of 2004, Part 1.
Have fun. I think you're pretty.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Pizza Rainbow. You can find this and other great podcasts at mathishard.net. You should also go on iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review us. I'm Jen Paulson. I can be found at TigerBeatPoet on Twitter. You can also check out Amber at Amber_L Carter on Twitter, along with her website, amberlcarter.com. Party on!